And we're going to look at the making of a Moses. All right? You think about the making of a Moses and all that you've heard and all the last couple of days, that which you've read about in the Scripture and so on. Consider this thought tonight. The Lord wants to make a Moses out of you. All right? You don't make a Moses out of you. God makes a Moses out of you. We want to consider the making of a Moses tonight, and my question is, are you willing to be a Moses? Are you willing to be a Moses? If ever there was a day in the New Testament church, and I hope you are a part of a New Testament church. If not, you ought to find one. There are a few around Ireland. All right? If ever there was a day in the New Testament church for a Moses, it's today. We need Moseses in our churches. And the call goes out today. Call goes out at this year's mission men's camp for Moseses. Are you willing? Church is crying out today for men to rise to the occasion of leadership. To be a leader. There's a great need for men to be leaders in their church, in their homes, and various other places where you live and do business and all sorts of things. Great opportunities to be a leader, to be a Moses. Someone who will take that staff, that rod of God in their hand, and march forth leading people. People need leaders. People need leadership. And God may be working on you today just for that very purpose. You can find lots of people who have leadership qualities. All right? But if you're going to be the kind of leader that God is talking about, God has to be involved in the making of that Moses. We're not talking about being a self-made man, okay? A self-made, self-proclaimed leader. Church doesn't need that, and God certainly doesn't need that. But God wants to make you into a Moses if you're willing to allow Him to do that in your life. And leaders just don't happen. And sometimes we think, he was born a leader, right? And we're talking about some character qualities that some people may have and are born with, some natural abilities and so on. And those things are necessary for leadership. But there is no such thing as a self-made man in the service of the King. God will make you into what He wants you to be. There's a place for everybody in God's service. Every man and every boy here today has opportunity to serve God. The question is, are you willing to? And let God do that work in your life. The making of a Moses is something that happens to a willing and a surrendered heart. And these are a couple of thoughts that we want to look at tonight. This is all done under the craftsmanship of God. There is no greater craftsman than the Heavenly Father. And aren't you glad about that? Because He can take you and I, and you stop and you consider your life tonight and just what it is. All right? Think about the flaws in your life, all right? Yeah, it can be a humbling thought, all right? And God can take us where we are with a willing heart, and He can craft us into that Moses. So let's consider a few thoughts about it this evening, the making of Moses. Acts chapter 7, find it if you will, and look down verse number 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house, 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. That is going to be our focus verse, or our text verse tonight. Look at it again. And when he was a full 40 years old, here's the phrase, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptians. For he was supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and am now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. The making of a Moses tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful day today. Thank you for being able to see the beauty of your creation, the mountainside, the sunshine reflecting on it this evening. Lord, to enjoy the fellowship of men. Lord, we're grateful tonight for your provision, meeting our needs, the feeding of us with the wonderful meals, and Lord, to be able to sing together and to hear such songs as Jesus Saves and Amazing Grace and all the camp hymns that we've been singing. Lord, our hearts are encouraged, stirred, and challenged. But will you once again tonight, Lord, speak to us concerning the making of a Moses. Now, Lord, I'm nobody special, and I need your help tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge our hearts to be surrendered to your will and allow you to make us into the Moses that you want us to be. Lord, you take control tonight and bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. The making of Moses. Well, told you it's not an idea of being a self-made man. It's everything to do with God's plan. All right? So jumping right in on your notes there, the first thing is we're going to talk about God's plan. God has a plan for each one of you. God had a plan for me. And our big responsibility in life as a Christian is to find out just what God's plan is for our life. All right? And when we consider God's plan, we need to think about the formation of it. All right, the formation of it. When you sit down and you decide to plan something out, you form things together. Okay? There's got to be some formation. All right? Men's camp. All right? There's a plan in the mind. And months ago, it began to formulate together, I presume. It just didn't walk in and Brother Craig waved his rod and it went poof and it all. It's all here, you know. It's formation to the plan. And when we consider the making of a Moses in our lives, God is at work implementing His plan if we will let Him, and He has a formation. He's got a design. He's got some structure and some order to implement His plan in your life and in mine. And the idea is here, we need to allow Him the opportunity to do this in our lives, to work His plan. All right? The making of His plan, not the making of our plan. You ever been caught up and captivated with your plan? I have. Get caught up and captivated by your ideas, your dreams. Man, it's great to have dreams, ideas, and plan. You know, the Bible says the righteous man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. I mean, you gotta plan ahead sometimes. But friend, let me tell you, you need to make sure that your plan meshes in to God's plan. And quite often, we get hung up on our plan and we neglect His plan and we live our life for ourselves, and that's a sad way to do it. As men, born again men of God, we need to submit our plan to His plan and allow God to then make us, not live life trying to make ourselves, make a name for ourselves, become popular in everybody else's eyes, to try to be the hero, to try to be the big man, to try to be this, to try to be that. For what? To impress everybody, to gain recognition? You know, the Lord is impressed when we bow the knee and allow Him to take over and to take control and to make us what He wants us to be. Do you not remember in the New Testament, for ye are bought with a price, and ye are not your own? If you trusted the Lord as your Savior, if you're a born-again Christian on your way to heaven, you are not your own, and your plan ought not to be all about what you want in this life. And friends, let me tell you, there are some things that I do want in this life. There are some things I want to see, I want to accomplish, I want to do, I want to go and have a part of, but it is all for naught if it does not mesh with His plan. And I'm telling you, God has something for each one of you to do. In His service, through your church, He's got a job for you. And He needs you to be a Moses, a submitted, surrendered man of God, child of God. You young guys, we'll be men of God one day. You submit. You older guys can be a man of God if you're willing to submit to the formation of God's plan. God was busy formulating His plan for you as a man to be a Moses long before you were born. You understand that? God was at work and He was busy working and formulating His plan for you by name before you were born. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. There was a formulation going on before Jeremiah was born as to what he was going to be according to God's plan. It wouldn't have been an awful thing had Jeremiah said, "Well, God, you know what? I want to travel the world. You know? I want to do this. God, I want to be a scientist. I don't want to be a prophet. Let alone a prophet to those people, you know. God was at work and He was formulating the life of Jeremiah before he was even born. And God had it all laid out on His master plan. And the key was for Jeremiah to come along and to mesh into what God was doing for his life, or what God intended for his life. And the same holds true for you and me. Before we were born, God was at work putting together what He wanted out of your life. And you know what? Maybe you say, well, that's great, but I don't even know the Lord. Well, I tell you what, God was formulating you and a plan for you before you were born as well. He's not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance. That's God's plan, first and foremost, for every man and boy here tonight. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, God's plan for you tonight, for you to eventually become a Moses, is to come to repentance. We look and we search as human beings for answers to why am I here? What am I doing? Where am I going one day? God has an answer to that. He is saying to you tonight, repent, come to the Savior. God's formulating a plan. He did it in the life of Paul. Galatians 1:12, for I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. You see how God's plan works? He's calling, and He calls everyone. There's not a limited call. There's not a select call. That call goes out tonight to one and all. He called me. He called a man who persecuted the church. He called him to salvation. He called him into service. Reveal His Son in me that I might preach among the heathen. Friends, there's a great job to do. Crossed Ireland. We by no means have this country covered. There's a great need tonight for some men to be a Moses, to stand up and take some leadership in their local church. And there's a great need for churches of our caliber to reach out and plant around us. Okay? God is at work. But it all starts by having a salvation knowledge in your own life. An understanding. And I don't mean a head knowledge. I mean a heart change. And then God goes to work from there. All a part of His formation, working His plan. There are some men from history, and some of the other guys have referenced some of this, who have been great leaders in the eyes of society and the world, and have gone down in the history books as being a leader. The question is tonight, I said, you know, we don't make a name for ourselves to gain popularity. Do we want to get down in the books of history? Or do we want to go down in the books of heaven, having laid up treasure there, and being known as a Moses for God in that capacity, and not have to have the recognition that this world affords? Too many men want to make themselves a Moses out of their own doing so that they can acclaim the fame. Not too many people across Ireland know my name, nor really do they care. You know? What's the point? My goal, my agenda 9 years ago coming to this country was not to be able to have my name plastered up somewhere. It was to simply listen and to try to make my life move in the direction of His plan. And there was a lot that went into getting my life to that point, the making of a Moses. And when I'm saying that, I'm not saying that this Moses is finished. Okay? God is still working on me. Okay? Make me what I ought to be. And this thing of being a Moses, it's work and it's ongoing. But if we will submit and we will surrender, God is formulating that plan and He's willing to work that plan just like He did for Jeremiah, just like He did for Paul. And He goes to work in and through our lives. God, in giving each one of us life, has tailor-made a plan for each one of us to fulfill. And our job is to discover that in our lives. So, God's plan, it's formed. And then He brings it to fruition. Fruition. All right? The making of a Moses, it all starts with God's plan, and He brings it to fruition. God is at work before us. All right? God is at work before us. Let's look back in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. God forms the plan and then He brings it to fruition. Genesis chapter 15, down in verse number 13, looking into the life of Abram. And He said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Would you like to receive that message? Yeah. You and your family and your people are going to go to a land and you are going to be afflicted. You're volunteering for that? And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace and shall be buried in a good old age. But, now notice here, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. You see, God was going to bring His plan to fruition one day. In His time, when He was ready, God would bring it to fruition. He would bring it to pass. He's at work. And He goes to work before us. God is at work working out things in your life for tomorrow. God is at work working out things in your life next week, next year, and so on. You know? We always think we have to know it all. We've got to have it all laid out before us before we can act and move, you know? But it doesn't always work that way. Quite often it doesn't work that way. God leads us one step at a time, one day at a time. He knows what's coming the next day. He knows what's coming next week. And He's got that all worked out. All we have to do is walk in His direction. Follow His plan. God uses people to shape us in our lives, to help us come into conformity to His plan. Think about the different people. We looked in our text in Acts chapter 7, verse number 20. When Moses was born, he was 3 months in his father's house. That was a short stay. Aren't you glad you weren't put out at 3 months? You know, happened to Moses. But under God's guidance, under God's care, and according to plan, he was looked after. Verse 21 said, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. There are people that God puts in our lives to help shape us to be what we ought to be according to His plan. Guess who some of those people are? Yeah, your parents were one of them. One set of those people. They were very important people. Saved or lost. It is a better thing if they're saved. But as unsaved people can help point you in an honorable direction. Unsaved people can help you with character, manners, you know, good behavior. But to have godly parents who instill in you the things of God, to help point you into His plan, God uses that. God will take your parents, and you don't understand it always as a young person. But you know, my dad said, he always told me, he said, you know, at this age, in your teenage years, he said, you think that I'm dumber than a red brick. I thought to myself, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking a brown brick, not a red brick. No, he said, but when you turn 30, you'll find out the red brick was not so dumb. And you know what? It was the truth. My dad knew some things. My dad knew what he was talking about quite a few things. You know what? It was my dad who taught me at a young age to give to the Lord. I remember 5 years old, somewhere back then, that age, my dad giving me a few coins on a Saturday. He got paid on Friday, went to the bank on Saturday morning, and cashed his check, and would give me a few coins, and he said, now you need to give God something out of that. And he'd help me with that. You know what my dad did? My dad helped me. He said, we're going to church. And I didn't have to ask every week, are we going to church today? But just, he was told, we go to church, you get ready. And he said, by the way, we dress a certain way when we go to church. We're going to honor the Lord. And my dad made me dress up in a little suit, tie, the whole bit, you know. And that wasn't so bad when you're 5, 6. I got 14. I wasn't too keen on it anymore. And I hung out in my bedroom on a Sunday morning, the last possible moment. Skipped breakfast, the whole works. And I heard him say, we're loading up, let's go. Good, it's safe now. And I had on just an old casual shirt, no suit, no tie. And I made a beeline for the car. And he said, what in the world are you doing? Where do you think you're going today? It's Sunday. You forget that? I said, apparently. And I asked no more. I turned around and I knew what I needed to do. You know. But he taught me, when you go into God's house, We're not going to show off. He said, but we're going to honor the Lord. Amen. We honor the Lord in what we give. We honor the Lord in how we come before Him. God uses parents to help shape us and mold us so that when God is ready, we have some of the background laid, the foundational things laid. They've been instilled in us, and God can then work right there. Set right in, and we're that much closer as far as being ready to go. To be that Moses. God uses parents. An interesting book to read is the book of Proverbs. Written by a wise man who was a father. And you know what? I wrote down several times here. He said in Proverbs, my son, hear. My son, if. My son, walk not. My son, forget not. My son, despise not. My son, attend to. My son, keep. Where did all that come from? It came from his father. A godly man instilling some things in the life of his son. Do not resent your parents. Do not shove off that which they're trying to instill in you. God uses parents to help make you into what He wants you to be. If you're here today and you have the privilege of having born-again Christian parents, you ought to thank God. Thank God for that. You know, that can make the difference in your eternity. To grow up in a home where the gospel is presented as opposed to a home where there is no gospel presented and maybe never hearing it. Thank God for Christian parents. Don't take it for granted. You know, we all have issues and stories and background to our lives, you know, and we have you ever said, boy, I wish I had different parents, you know? Well, it happens for some people, you know. Some people do get different parents. Some people have different backgrounds. When I was born, I was adopted at birth. I often wondered about that. You know, I wasn't one that went about having to do a major investigation into the past. And if that was your case and you did, that's fine. But for some reason, at birth, I was put into a godly Christian home. It was interesting because the home that took me in, the same year I was born, an independent, fundamental Baptist church was started in my parents' home, 2 months before I was born. I grew up in that. This church started in our house. And my dad was a shop worker, worked second shift, and couldn't make it to a Wednesday night prayer meeting at church in another town. There was no church in our town, and so these guys got together, started having prayer meeting in the morning on a Wednesday, and the Lord birthed the church out of that. A handful of families, three or four families, and today, over 500. Amen. My parents, you know, I thought at times were tough on me.
Amen.
You know? And I thought, man, give me a break. You know, I could have had a break. I could have grown up in some home, running wild, needles in my arms.
Yeah.
And some of you guys have had that experience. Thank God you found help, you found a place, you found some hope, you found Christ through a ministry that reaches out when it's that way. But I had to say, thank you, Lord. With song tonight. Thank you, Lord. This afternoon, I can't remember, but, you know, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for giving me godly parents. God uses parents. God uses pastors to help form you into being a Moses. Hebrews 13:17 says, these men watch for your souls. Thank God for your pastor. And this has been trumpeted on a bit, you know, today. Thank God for your pastor. He cares about you, just like your parents do. He cares about you. Your pastor wants what's best for you. A good pastor does. Some are charlatans out there, you know, that just want your money. Health, wealth, and prosperity. For him, you know. I didn't come to Ireland for help, wealth, and prosperity. Come to Ireland and that damp weather gets my lungs down at times. I'm not getting rich here. And, you know, but I can say one thing, God has taken care of me. But as a pastor in my church, my heart and my concern is for people that God has there. A heart to care. The slogan on our church is Anchor Baptist Church, the church with a heart for people. And I pray that we keep that focus. Pastors, they help care for you. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Paul said, follow me. You know, as a pastor, my desire is that our people follow us as a pastor. We want them to follow us, but man, only as we are following Him. If I divert off the path, man, somebody needs to pull the collar. Somebody needs to shake it up. Somebody needs to say, hey, But as I walk with God, as these pastors walk with God, we need to follow.
Amen.
You'll never get to the place of being a leader if you cannot follow. God will use a pastor. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect pastors. We found that out yesterday morning. Brother Hill stood up and confessed all his sins. Not a perfect pastor. Neither am I. We all have faults. We all have failures. But God uses authority to help us, to make us, to shape us, to be that Moses He wants us to be. God wants to reveal His will to us. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses. God wants you to know His will. God wants you to understand the plan He has for your life. And He may not reveal the whole thing from start to finish, but He wants you to understand, get in on it, start following it, and going in that direction. He made His ways known unto Moses. And friend, God will make His way known unto you if you really want it. If you really want to know it. He will begin to reveal it unto you. As God gets busy working about to bring His will to fruition in and through our lives, you can be assured of one thing. Satan is going to be just as busy working and trying to thwart that very will of God, that plan of God in your life so that you do not become the Moses God wants you to be. God begins working. God begins implementing that plan in your life and you begin to follow and say, "Yes, Lord." And when that happens, Satan is on prowl. He's looking to pull the rug out from under you, to cause you to stumble, to cause you to fall, so that you do not accomplish that plan that God has to be a Moses. He's trying to thwart God's plan just like He has from day one on planet Earth. That is His agenda. That is His goal, to thwart God's plan. He got involved right from the beginning with Adam and Eve, and was very effective. And friend, don't let Satan get his foot in the door and be effective in your life. See that foot sliding in? Slam that door. You know? Do a Joseph and run. Put those running shoes on. Get you out of there. The problem is we hang around. We look, we long, we linger. And we get messed up. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Satan does nothing but want to rob you, to destroy you. And why is it that we so often fling the door open and say, "Here I am, take me"? Have you been there? I've been there. I've done that. Bad day, you know. Just let it all go. Tired of that, you know. I just want a break, you know. I want this. I want that. I want to try this. I want to try that. You don't have to look very far in the world and in society to find that it's there willing to fuel that fire in your life. Say, "Hey, you know what? You do deserve a break today. Come on out and hang out at Burger King and McDonald's. You have it your way. Make it your way." Yeah, I remember when I was growing up, that big television commercial. "You can make your Whopper 101 different ways. Have it your way because you deserve it." You know, and Satan does the same self. You deserve it, man. Take the day off. Cash out on the Lord. No big deal. Somebody else will take up the slack. Hey, man, be a Moses. Say no. Shut the door. Move on. There have been many a man who's been sidelined and even put out of service for the long term because of the attack of Satan on his life, and he wasn't willing to put up the fight. Wasn't willing to say no. You know what? One of the smallest words that we have trouble with is the word no. Telling ourselves no. We have a generation of people today that cannot handle two little letters in their life. No! Yeah. Everybody thinks that they've got to have it. Everybody thinks that it's going to be even Steven. Billy got a lolly. What about me? Well, did you say your verse this week? No. Well, we would give everybody a lolly, but we told you last week, if you say your verse, you get a lolly. Oh, we can't handle no, and we've raised up young people that cannot tolerate being told no. I want this latest game, you know, I don't even know what the latest one is, but one of these electronic games, you know, of power shooting and mass murder and blood and gore and language and filth and scantily clad women. And I've got to have it. It's a strategy game, Dad. Well, go play chess, you know. It's a strategy game. Oh, well, that's okay. They just took the Lord's name in vain 45 times and said all kinds of other curse words, and we sit in there filling our mind with aggressive behavior, and we wonder why we have problems with anger. We wonder why we just get bent out of shape when somebody says, no! No! And we can't take it. Everything was not meant for us. And friend, you better learn to take the word no in your life.
Amen.
God has a plan, and His desire is to put into motion in your life His plan. And when He does, when it starts rolling, then God is ready to move to stage two, the purge. That's the second point on your notes there, the purge. God wants to work His plan to fruition and to make you into Moses He would have you to be, and that involves many aspects and many experiences that you will face in life. We've all faced different experiences. We all walk a different set of shoes. You may have went through something that I've never gone through. My wife was in a car accident 1 month ago, last month. Minding her own business, coming home at lunchtime, turning into our estate. She's sitting there waiting on the road to turn in because there's two oncoming cars, and boom, guy just plowed right into the back of her, you know? I mean, experiences that we go through in life, well, I didn't have time for that, to be honest with you. They rode off my car. I didn't have time to go looking for a car. Didn't want to go looking for a car. I was happy with the one I had. I've got things going on in life that necessitate my time besides car shopping right now. And was not what I was after. But God brings experiences through our life. You know what happened to me as a result of that? I found a car, the similar make and model of what I had. Wouldn't you know it, it wasn't in Waterford, it was in Dublin. So what do? I hop in this rental car that they gave me, and I drove 2 hours up there, went to the house, and when I saw it, I already had my mind made up this was not it. You know, I spent the 30, 40 euros, whatever it was, in the fuel to go up there. Here I am, I already know this isn't what I want, and this guy, at private sale, you know, he comes out and he's all happy and smiley, like, you know, he wants to sell this car, and then I find out it's not even his, it's the neighbor's, and so on. And he says, let's take it for a spin. I get in, and I'm ready to get back in the little Golf and go home already, and we're going around the block and so on, I don't even remember how it happened, but the question usually comes up, oh, you're not from here, you know, tell by the accent. What are you doing here? I said, well, I'm a Baptist pastor in Waterford. You're joking me, he says. He says, my wife goes to some Pentecostal thing over here, and she helps do this and do that and so on, but he said, frankly, I'm not into that, but he said, frankly, I'm not into much of anything. He said, but just what is it about the Baptist church that's so different? Here I am on a test drive, driving this car to give this guy the gospel. I mean, I'm not interested at all. And we're driving around, and I'm telling him how to be saved. He said, but you know, I honestly, in my life, I feel like I've been a good person. I mean, won't that cut it with God? I mean, he said, after all, I've never killed anybody. I said, well, neither did I. But the Bible says we all have sin, and the Bible says that there's a price tag on that. There's a penalty. There's a place called hell where sin will be paid for, and the sinner will go there and pay for that if he does not have the blood of Christ applied to his life. I said, there is a little bit more to it than a little balance scale in good and bad. I said, that's not in the book. He said, well, I find that very interesting. I said, well, let me tell you a bit more. We rode around for 15 minutes and got back, you know, and he thanked me for the chat. He wasn't interested in trusting Christ, and off I went. But we have a car accident, so I could go and tell somebody about the Lord. I could have thought of a better way, but maybe that was what God... I don't know. What I'm saying is God brings experiences into our lives, different experiences. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've had some illness. Maybe cancer sets in. I don't know. But God brings experiences our way to use us to help us become that Moses. There's a purpose. There's a plan. And God uses these things. And God then says, I have a task for you to do. And then the purging comes. You see, there's a purging because of baggage. That's the first point under there. There has to be a purging because of the baggage. You know, my favorite thing about traveling, and I don't like traveling. We have 5 children. It says it right there. You take 5 children and luggage through the airport, it's not fun. But my favorite part about traveling is checking in and dumping off the baggage. What a feeling. Take it. Have it. I pray it's there at the other end. You know? The relief that comes when you can get rid of the baggage. God starts working that plan. And then when we begin to allow that to happen in our life, He begins to purge us. Stripping off the dross of that old nature. All right, this is dealing with the flesh. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. Our problem is, friend, we make provision for the flesh. We make it easy. Romans 7:18 says, Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You see, God wants to strip off the non-essential. God wants to strip off that which is unhealthy in our lives. We have a lot of baggage, and it's called the old nature. We brought that along with us. Inherited it from great, great, great Adam way back there. Been passed on to all men. And that is a heavy load of baggage, friends. That old flesh. God wants to strip off worldliness that we like to cling to. You know those things you crave and love in this world? You know? Things you put up to your lips and... You know? Worldliness. Cravings, desires for those things of the world. That bottle, that brown bottle, yeah. You know? All this stuff, worldliness, an unwholesome tongue, filthy mouth that speaks lies, sticky fingers that take that which doesn't belong to you. Worldliness. I had some of that stripped off of me when I was 5 years old. I had sticky fingers. We went to a Bible bookstore. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. We were there and she was getting some knickknacks and doodads for the kids for class. And she was getting something for everybody but me that day. And I found an eraser. It was the neatest eraser I'd ever seen. It said, smile, Jesus loves you. Now, that's cool. 5 years old, gave me some good, happy thoughts. And I said, Mom, can I get one of these? She said, no, not today. And I've heard those words a lot in my life. No, not today. And this is when I didn't like the word no. And I thought, she's getting stuff for her class. Not in her class, but after all, I'm her son. And I deserve one of these. And she was up paying for the goods, and I slid that thing in my pocket. We lived 30 minutes from town. We got home, and later on that afternoon, I had that thing out working it on my paper. And she saw that, and she said, where did you get that? I said, just a minute, I'm trying to remember. I think it was today, back in town at that shop. She said, you're joking me. I said, I wish I were. But you know what my mom did? She you'd never believe what she did. She put me back in the car, drove me back. She said, you're going in and tell them what you did. I said, I started crying. She said, don't start that. She said, I'll go in with you. And she made me tell them, I don't interest you. And he felt bad, and so on, and wanted to give it to me and all that. My mom said, no. She paid him for it, and then I could have it. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done. But God wants to strip off that stuff out of our lives. We need to learn. We need to grow. And there's this stripping down of the baggage. Moses accumulated some baggage. He grew up in Egypt. Remember that? He had the best of everything, but he also had the influence of Egypt. He had that worldliness around him, and it had to be shed off. God refines us through purging and pruning, and that's usually a painful process. I don't like it, but it's necessary. And then the heat is applied. The pruning shears clip in, and it's painful. And God then takes us as that lump of clay, puts us on that wheel, and He begins to shape and to mold us and make us what He'd have us to be, and tries to get it to the right consistency. And when He's working at purging in our lives to help us rid ourselves of the baggage, we need to relax and let Him work and let that stuff go. We want to hang on to it. We want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But Moses got to the point where he was willing to cash that out and not enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And God works at getting rid of the baggage in our life. And when He's purging, He also begins to go to work on the will. The baggage and the will. Surrender to the will. Back in our text in Acts chapter 7, verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart. Surrender the will. I think this is part of the call that God was giving to Moses. It was inside. It came to his heart. It wasn't a flash across the sky. Although there were some interesting things that God did during Moses' day. Pillars of cloud, pillars of fire, bushes on fire, God's call and God's will in my life was not a flash or a lightning bolt or cloud formations or anything like that for me. But it was a still small voice in the heart. Here we see in the text that it came to his heart. And God's purging is not just only dealing with the rubbish and the baggage that we have in life, but it also is dealing with the will. Surrendering our will. You will never be a Moses until you learn to surrender the will to His will. Surrender the will and then yield the will. That yielding is an ongoing thing, friend. You can surrender, all right, to God's plan. You need to have an ongoing yieldedness. Romans 6 is a good place to study about that. Neither yield ye yourselves members of, to unrighteousness unto sin. Yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves to be a servant of righteousness and so on. Good passage. There's an ongoing yieldedness. And God purges and works in our lives to help us with that. So that when you're yielded, you know what you can become? Next step. a servant. Become a servant. Yeah, I thought we were talking about being a leader. Being a leader starts by being a servant. You yield the will, you surrender your will, and then God asks you to take upon the form of a servant. He was our example. He incorporates that into the training program. Not too many people does God take and just throw you right there into the leadership capacity. There's some servitude that goes on. Remember? 40 years. Doing what? Working for the father-in-law, tending to the sheep. Tending to the sheep. Learning to lead little sheep. Animals. Serving Jethro. Our Lord's ministry to the disciples was one to teach them and to train them to be leaders one day. And it all started with words like this. Follow me. Remember that? Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I saw Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs and he said, follow me. And the Lord gathered these men. He called them and they began to come and he said, if any man will come after me, let him take up a cross daily and follow me. There's a little bit of work that goes on here, and there's a bit of humility and a humbling factor that comes into play. The Lord said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. And a man said, well, let me go and bury my dead, you know. There's dead that I've got to deal with. And the Lord said, hey, follow me. If we would be willing to surrender and to yield and to follow, the Lord can make us into a Moses. As we set out to follow the Lord, there must be a denial of self and taking on a servant view. A servant view. Philippians chapter 2. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's no greater example of servitude than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sat down and washed their stinking feet. He served them. Ministry and leadership is about being a servant. You say, I'm not interested in being the servant. I get sick and tired of stacking the chairs after the service. We do it at our place sometimes, you know. We have to set up, we have to take down, bring it in, bring it out. Listen, if you don't want to be a servant, forget about being the Moses. Because that's what it's all about, friend. If you're going to be the leader, be the Moses, it comes with being a servant first. The purging then gives way to God's product. And as we wrap it up this evening, God's product is our life and our service to Him, ultimately. You are God's product if you will allow Him the opportunity to go to work in your lives. God's product, there's the equipping that's involved. You begin to follow God's plan and you allow God to go to work and purge you, then God is ready to perform and make a product out of you. And when God does that, rest assured, my friend, He will equip you. When God called me to come to Ireland, I said, Lord, you know, for me to go to be a missionary is probably not a good thing because, obviously, Lord, you don't understand a couple of things here. Number one, and the most important thing is, I don't like hot. And, you know, I just know if I say, yes, Lord, equator land, here I come. Hot. And I said, number two, Lord, you know the second problem for me it would be if I said, yes, Lord, you're going to make me go somewhere where they're not speaking English. That's a problem. And when I look back on it now, there's a few similarities here with Moses. You know, oh, I can't speak. You know, he took the words right out of my mouth. But God will equip us. It all begins by being in the Lord's way. Abraham said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And if we are just simply willing and put ourselves in the place of being usable, God can go to work on that. And He will make us. And He will equip us. I don't have all the fancy stuff. I went to Bible college, but you know, I'm not the greatest orator, you know, not the greatest singer, I'm not the greatest anything. But God can come alongside and do what you can't do. I mean, honestly, guys, did you think Moses could part a Red Sea? I mean, did Moses just have it in him to part that water? I mean, I would have been standing there gobsmacked saying, how's this going to happen? Yeah. You know? And I come to Ireland and I'm saying, Lord, how am I going to reach these people? But God will equip us. And God will enable us. God will enable you to do that which He has called you to do. All that is needed, God will provide. God can fit you out. You know? You go buy a building and you're going to kit it out just how you want it. You surrender your life to the Lord. You've been bought with a price. He'll fit you out. He will make you, equip you, and enable you to be what you ought to be. God's product involves the equipping, and it also involves, lastly, the determination. If you are going to be a Moses, there's got to be some determination about a few things in your life. Number one, you've got to have a determination to be faithful. Faithful. Luke 16, 10 through 12 talks about being faithful in the little things, faithful in the small things, faithful in the least of these things. That's where it starts, man. It starts by being faithful. Being faithful to be in church. Be faithful to learn your verse. Be faithful to participate. Be faithful to be there to set up. Be faithful to make that cup of tea. Be faithful to do that sound system. Be faithful to that which may be insignificant as far as you're concerned. But you know what? I know this, being a pastor at our church, that every little thing that seems insignificant to so many people is huge to me if somebody's willing to serve and do it. People in our church, and I'm sure you have them in your church as well, that are there and they do this and they do that and they just are there. Friend, if you're going to be a Moses, you've got to be determined to be faithful. Faithful. Number two, you need to be determined to make right choices. We get caught up with making a choice on the fly, at a whim, and spend some time with the Lord and make right biblical choices. All that we do in life is a result of choices that we make along the way. Number three, you're going to be a Moses. There's got to be a determination to stick with it no matter how hard it gets. I'll tell you what, I've had some hard moments in 9 years in Ireland. Hard moments. But what do you do with a hard moment? Does the hard moment get you, or do you get it? Hard moments. You're here tonight as an adult man. You're married. Have difficulties in your marriage. What are you going to do? Go find somebody better? Cash out and walk away? Easily done in today's society, even in the church. Looking for somebody else because we're not determined to make it work. Stick with it. The ministry. Determined to continue on with your ministry. Somebody's counting on you. Somebody still needs to hear in your neighborhood. There also needs to be a determination about your convictions. For this is a day of the wind blowing and everybody wafting and changing with the course of the wind on what they stand for. It's so sick and tired of hearing that, oh, we changed on this, and oh, we changed on that. Oh, we're not using that Bible anymore. We've got the new one, you know. Oh, we don't sing those songs anymore. We got the whole new praise and worship movement came in, you know. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Some determination. Don't look for the easy way out. Well, Satan doesn't want you to be a Moses, that's for sure. He does not want you to surrender to God's will for your life. But serving God with a surrendered life comes with a cost. The question is tonight, my friend, are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to pay the price? Hard choices have to be made. We need to determine in our heart that we will allow God, the God of heaven, to make us what He would have us to be and stick with it. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. The making of a Moses. You want to be a Moses tonight? It doesn't start by you determining to do it on your own and make yourself that Moses. It starts by allowing God to implement His plan in your life. And when you do that, my friend, you better be ready because the purge time will come. The reason for that is so that God can have a finished product, that Moses. Is God prompting you to step up and be a Moses? To some degree, in some area of your life, your family, your home, your church. Listen, why don't you respond to God tonight? Is God prompting you to salvation tonight? It's very possible that there are those here tonight that still do not have the assurance that if this life were to end tonight, that they would be in heaven. You're not going to be the Moses you ought to be until you deal with that first and foremost. Consider that thought tonight. The making of a Moses. Pastor.